Okay, good morning. We have a few here. I mean a few. I don't know. They're pulling away from the donuts and the coffee. All right. Chris brings his coffee in the jug. At least we're assuming it's coffee. We're just, we'll make that assumption and let it go at that. Okay, first of all, as far as the sheet that's in the chair there, just hold that, put it with your Bible or something for a little bit, and we'll take care of that in due time. And so let's begin with the word of prayer, ordering ourselves to while we're here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful once again for the freedom that we enjoy to assemble ourselves. We thank you for this assembly where we can come and open the scriptures and teach and understand it as per the leading of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you and glorying to your Son, Father, in the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Brian, let's open with a song. Okay, thank you. Okay, let's first of all talk about prayer. And we want to start off, Tish, right now, as in Monterrey, Mexico. How's she doing? What's...
I guess she's doing fine. They're doing some stuff for me today already.
All right. Did they start doing anything yesterday?
Yeah, they gave her some IVs and some salves.
Yeah. Okay.
Some minor stuff. And kind of went over the treatment that they're going to do. And he looked at her sores.
Okay. Good. And they arrived and everything okay?
Yeah, they're doing fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Terry, are you going to keep us advised, the church advised?
Yes, I will. I can forward up to
you. Okay. All right. That'll be good. And so that's definitely be, yes.
We need to be in prayer for Leslie because she said something about having fresh air. And I was thinking, her mom's probably smoking in that room. And she's like, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to have Leslie sick when she gets home.
They are in Mexico.
It doesn't help those of us who like to breathe fresh air, though. All right. So we'll need to be in prayer for both Tish and Leslie, certainly. The doctors, as they work through and see she can't come home and on the healing process. So that'd be good. Keep us advised on that. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
There is a boy in kindergarten in Tulsa, Oklahoma. His name is Nathan. He's going to have a brain surgery in Oklahoma City.
4 years old.
Yeah,
okay. Brain surgery.
Yes.
Do you know his first name?
His first name is Nathan. You don't
Nathan.
Know his last name.
All right.
And please pray for him and also for the family because they don't actually have enough money to do that. And they're praying that the financial aid or something will come through.
Okay. Well, we definitely need to be in prayer for Nathan and for the doctors as they work on him. Absolutely. Thank you. Judith and John Hintz and I went over a little restaurant for breakfast yesterday morning. And Judith was sitting next to this little girl and we were talking, kind of talking to her. Her name is Savannah. And she looked up and she told Judith, she said, my mommy just passed away. So I know we know nothing about her. But just be in prayer for Savannah and whatever God is going to do. Let's see. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Please be in prayer for each other. Please be in prayer for America. It needs our prayers. Don't know what's going to happen to this country, in this country. But we definitely need to be in prayer for this country. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. But not only that, it's also knowing how to be filled with the Spirit and led of the Spirit as far as giving is concerned. Paul said, if I give everything that I own to feed the poor so that I myself become poor, but have not love, it profiteth nothing. So we need to be sure we're filled with the Spirit when we consider giving and when we give. These things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, this is the season of giving. In giving, we learn a great deal about ourselves, Father. Why are we giving? To whom are we giving? What are the motives? Do we have any hidden motives behind our giving? Even when we give to each other, especially when we give to you. We understand, Father, that giving is a privilege. It's part of the leading of the Spirit. We pray, Father, that all the offerings that we give, that you will continue to receive, that in the new coming year, you will continue to use this humble assembly in the spreading of the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. Use this humble assembly, our missionary outreach, the outreach of this assembly through the internet, and Heavenly Father, right here in our own home, with each other. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. I just turned it on. Isn't it on? Yeah. Had a wonderful conference this week with Dan and John, staying at the house, and we just, the three of us, had wonderful fellowship and a lot of fun just getting with both of these men. And the conference went well. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about different speakers and all. As time goes on, I'll introduce you to various ones. And when I ordered the video recording of the conference because I want to play one of them for you. And I'll announce the night that we're going to do that. And it was on a subject that when I first saw it on the program and saw his book, I went, eh. But it was powerful. And it was on 2012. And he was really, really good. So rather than just try to go over what he said, I'd rather wait, because there's no difference between now and January or February, whenever they get those out. And so, but I want to do that, and maybe even another one. But it was a pre-trib conference. And like I said, I'll go through a lot of the different speakers. The primary man kind of in charge is Tim LaHaye of the Left Behind series. And so we had speakers from all over, and most of them are just extremely effective. A couple were extremely boring. And it's just so interesting, different men that, well, we'll say experts, and that word in quotes, in some area, some field. But what they have to do, they're running this thing like a professional deal, and you have to present a paper, and you have to read your paper. And I mean, one man just got up there, and I mean, boy, about 20 minutes into it, you're going, but the information was phenomenal, the work he had done. But by the time he started getting into it, it was just, oh my goodness. So I won't play that one for you. And I'll just sort of summarize what he said. I can do that. Yeah. Okay. When I get it, I'll be good. But the last speaker was from Ireland. And he spoke with that Ireland accent. And I mean, you just sort of, oh, wow. And not really what he says, just the way he says it. And he'd spoken last year, and his subject matter, "You shall be my witnesses, the transatlantic history of the prophetic witness movement. And what this is those that believe in a pre-trib, what we believe, view. And one speaker who did a phenomenal job on going back to the second century, right after John wrote, of pre-tribulational, and kind of followed it through that realm of history. But this last speaker's name is Dr. Paul Wilkinson. Dr. Paul Wilkinson. And Dr. Paul Wilkinson's pastor, and the song that you have in your sheet now, Andrew Robinson. And Andrew Robinson wrote this music. And I just, was so taken with it. So I just thought I'd introduce it to you. It gave out a little disc of it and then the sheets to it. And so what I'd like to do is I'm going to play it. You just follow along. Now, this first side gives you the music and all those of you that need that and want that. But on the back, you'll see down at the bottom, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you'll see the verses. So you can either follow the first verse with the music, or you can just follow the words in the back. Now, there's only one tricky little part, and I'm not sure what was doing, but on verse 5, you'll see it'll go through hallelujah, and it'll come down, and for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, hallelujah, praise the ring. That goes back up to the beginning of verse 5, and then comes down, and then jumps down, for unto us a child is born, and then can you see the cross? So, just kind of letting you know what to follow there. Okay, let's just enjoy listening to the choir of this church sing. Emmanuel. watching her away. Okay, this is a beautiful hymn. It goes birth, death, burial, resurrection, second coming, and his reign. It's just a powerful song. So let's stand and... Huh? We're going to sing with them. We're going to sing with them. We're going to sing with them.
Good time.
This one just, I thought, was really a wonderful, wonderful song, hymn, Christmas carol, whatever you want to call it. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for our study. Let's begin with the word of prayer, and we're closing down our study on total depravity, and I know that upsets some of you, but we've got to move on back to Romans chapter 3, so let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you this time of the year for your grace, your mercy, your love, a love that saw our need, a love that saw our destitute, and sent your Son. We praise you, Father. And Father, we praise you for your word, which opens up all these wonderful things to us. But without your Spirit, we would still be no better off. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see and understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Under the study of total depravity, the grace of God, understanding the gospel. Roman numeral 1, we studied, created in the image of God. And we looked at Genesis 1, 26 and 27. The point here was, God Elohim said, decreed in eternity past, let us, all three members of the Godhead, make asah, different from the word create, that coming up, out of something, out of the soul, man, Adam, the human race. It was patterned after the Godhead. The image, Tashen, the same essence, invisible yet real, according to our Godhead, to our likeness. Now, I'm going to get on to our study here. These are the verses. And I didn't know that I had put all of those on there. But they're there. Now, point two, the effect of sin on the earth. Now, we just started off with how man is created in the image of God. Perfect. And then, point two, I just wanted to show the effect of sin on the earth in the prehistoric world. That's all that this point two was about, to show the effect of total depravity. This is what sin did on the world. Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2, and you'll note the great contrast between 1:1 and 2, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. What happened between verses 1 and 2? Where the earth is described as waste, empty, darkness, barren. All these describe the earth after the fall of angels. And these describe us as unbelievers, and believers when we are in sin. We need to be saved or delivered from these conditions. Now, well, let me see here. What is this? Created in the effect of sin. Then Roman numeral 3. You know what? I think I had two total depravities on my paper, so, okay. What I wanted to say that isn't on here, and I thought it was it need to be made clear. This is very important. This is extremely important to the time in which you and I live, where we have the green effect and all this evil, false stuff coming out, how we need to clean up the world. It needs to be made clear that angels did not do this to the earth, make it waste, barren, tohu vavohu. Angels didn't do that. It wasn't like they did something, they trashed it all up, so they need to clean up the trash. It's not what happened. It was not the angels that did that. It was God. It was God who effected this change as a result of sin. So this will become so important in our study coming up in regard to man and when we did fall and how the sin, the earth was cursed. But we didn't do it. So it's not something we need to clean up. It's not something we can undo. All of this is in God's control. So this is very important that when verse Genesis 1:2 was not done by the angels, it was caused by the angels' sin. If I make myself clear here, what I'm saying is they didn't cause the earth to become barren and dark and waste. God did. Okay, so point three, total depravity of man. How did that creature created in the image of God change? How did he become totally depraved? Or how sin changed that which was in the image of God into total depravity? Okay? Then we move to point four. Well, Genesis 2:17 there. Well, my goodness, look at this now. Well, let's just abandon all of this. Well, we'll just abandon it. Roman numeral 4 affected the effect of total depravity on the heart of man. That was the big five. Totally being, continually being corrupted, full of evil, more deceitful than all else, insane, all of those. Roman numeral 5, other effects of total depravity on man. And then we went back and looked at parts of Roman 3. Roman numeral 6, the effect of total depravity on the inner relationship of humans. Effect of total depravity on our relationship with one another. Roman numeral 5, did our effect on ourselves. Stress, anxiety, depression, all these things brought about by the effect of total depravity on us. Roman numeral 6, we looked at the effect of total depravity on our inner relationship. Adam and Eve. Adam starts blaming Eve. All these problems, and it's gone all the way through history. Then Roman numeral 7, the effect of total depravity on the earth. Adam and Eve did not adversely affect the earth themselves. They did not cause the change in global warming or anything else that happened on the earth. So that man has to clean it up. People, that's all a lie. That's man worshiping the creation rather than the creator. Getting so occupied with the creation, not with the creator. So all of these things we're having going on is part of man's rejection of Christ. There is no God. This is our earth. We have to take care of it. We have to clean it up. We have to do this. Then Roman numeral 8. Roman numeral 8. Roman numeral 8, God's solution to the problem of total depravity. First of all, we did an introduction. Man under sin, dead, unrighteous, unclean, not justified before God, under the penalty of sin, under the power of sin. Then we took up the problem of free will, which is very important in this study. Did man lose his free will at the fall? And if man lost his free will at the fall, then hyper-Calvinism is correct. God chooses who's going to be saved and who isn't, and he puts into you irresistible grace, it's called. Other people can resist it if they're not elect. But if you're elect, it's irresistible grace. So we dealt with the problem of free will. Then point three, God gave two essentials to solving the problem of total depravity. First, God gave every member of the human race faith. Every member of the human race is given faith. This takes care of the goodwill problem, well, the free will problem. If you think that man's free will was destroyed, or if you think that it wasn't destroyed, I don't believe it was, but if you think that it was, it's still resolved by God's gracious gift of faith to every member of the human race. And then God gave the object of faith for every member of the human race, his Son, Jesus Christ. Four, first and foremost, God did not make us a better creature. He did not go in and try to clean up our nature. God did not do that. Five, God started all over. And then we have some sub-points. Sub-point one, he just kills the old self. crucifies it. And we looked at passages where we're crucified with Christ. I hope that jumps out at you now, becomes very important to you now. What does it mean, we're crucified with Christ? Is that just a nice phrase? No, it's essential. Our total depraved nature, crucified with Christ. Point two, then God raised us up a new creation, a new creature. So we're all a new creature now. Then God gave us a new birth. We're born again, and we're born from above. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here, people. Don't get so caught up on this earth that we become stressed, anxiety, depressed. We're not from here. We're from heaven. Now, we come to point nine. This is where we left off. Roman numeral 9. God saw... Yes. Do what now? I'm sorry. To understand... Okay, we saw in Romans 1, every member of the human race knows God and knows that He exists. No matter what age, or it may come at different ages in different societies. Some in America do it at 3. I guess maybe 2. But at least 3. Some, not until they're 20 in America. We're not that... engulfed in Christianity anymore. So, it just comes at wherever point where you become God conscious. Become God conscious, at that point, you begin to have to deal with whether there is a God. Some say, no, there is no God. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Some say, yes, there is their God. So then they get the gospel. Okay? Yes? Do what? On his deathbed, yes. I agree. So, okay, now we're getting ready to look at Roman numeral 9, where God solved the problem of total depravity through and by Jesus Christ. We're going to look at some things now, how Jesus Christ solved our problem of total depravity. He's the gift of God. God gave us great faith, and God gave us His Son. So now we're going to look at what God did in regard to total depravity through His Son. Point one. Remember that God's solution was to kill the old, totally depraved self. And the only death that matters is that which we die in Christ. We die in Christ. Let's look at Romans 6. Romans 6. Now I had to battle here. Do I want to put these verses on the overhead and just speed through? Christmas time, oriented to Christ, I want you to sit in your own text. And you can have a place in your Bible, you can write these things, do what I do is on the back, I write one and then have 1 and 2 and then 3 follow through all of these verses. Alright, Romans 6, let's look at verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. Now we're going to come to a lot of these other things. What I want us to see is that we die in Christ. Look at verse 8. Now, if we have died, since we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. So, we start off our whole trip recovering from total depravity by dying in Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Hope you got your Bible, because this is going to be a Bible church this morning. Second Corinthians 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And one more passage in this motif. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2, verse 11. It is a trustworthy statement. It means it's true. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. But what I want us to understand under point one of how Christ solves the problem of total depravity, we die in Christ. Now, point two. We are crucified with Christ. We are crucified with Christ. This is the only crucifixion that counts, that will kill the old self. Let's go back to Romans 6. Romans 6. This time, we want to look at verse 6. Let you write it down and then we'll turn to them. Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. Our depraved nature was crucified with him. You did not feel it. You did not experience it. It happened, and we believe it happened. So, this is what happened. We are crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And a wonderful passage, Galatians 2. Galatians 2. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 is one of my favorite verses as a preacher. And I'll tell you why. Teacher of the Word. Because it says the same thing over and over and over. There's different ways. And I love that. So, let's take a look at it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. And people, this has to be a reality in your thought pattern. I began into total depravity. I have been crucified with Christ. Now it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me. Actually, it's by faith of the Son of God, by the way. The original Greek says of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Why do I emphasize that of? Because Jesus Christ walked by faith in the Spirit. That's how we walk. Okay, let's look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5:24. Galatians 5:24. We're looking at, we are crucified with Christ. The totally depraved nature is crucified with Christ. 5:24. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. People, when our passions and our desires become sinful, that's a flag in your soul, I'm in the flesh. I have resurrected that old flesh nature, that old totally depraved. That's what we are. We're grave robbers. Every time we go into this flesh nature, stop walking by faith in the Spirit, we're at the cemetery digging up our old flesh nature that's been crucified and buried. We dig it back up. I like you. Let me wipe up all this dirt and get you going again. Some of us, it's so fresh, we don't have to wipe off the dirt. But that's really what we're doing. It's exactly what we're doing. Point three. God killed us in total depravity. We died in Christ. We died in Christ. Now, we have already looked at Romans 6:8. We've already looked at 2 Timothy 2:11, 2 Corinthians 5:14. Point four. God killed our totally depraved nature with Christ, crucified with Christ, killed with Christ, buried with Christ, and then He raised us up in Christ. Take that totally depraved nature, buried it, and raises us up now, a new creature, raised up in Christ. Let's look at Colossians 2. We're going to look at, so you can write it down, we're going to look at Colossians 2:12 and Colossians 3:1. All right, let's turn now to Colossians 2:12. Colossians 2:12. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Now, this verse is packed. We don't have time to really go through it, but let's just note, having been buried with Him, with Jesus Christ, in baptism, identification with His death, in which you were also raised up with Him, how? By means of faith in the working of God. God is doing all the work here. Who raised Him from the dead, He raises us from the dead. Now let's look at Colossians 3:1. If then you, and it should be since then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. I guess there's hardly any other season where we're more material-oriented. Now, I'm not saying that we're all in sin when we go buy presents, but we're just material-oriented. We look at what we don't have. We look at what we'd like to have. We look at what we're buying for somebody else we'd like to keep. All these kind of things that are going on. Just sort of oriented to the material things. People, we're not from here. We're not. Our citizenship is not here, Philippians 3. We're not from here. We're above where Jesus Christ is seated. Keep your mind set on those things. If you find yourself on Christmas morning a little depressed that you didn't get the diamond you wanted, the pool that you wanted, the car that you wanted, whatever it is, it didn't get it, and it starts to bring you down, get yourself back up by remembering who you are in Christ, where you really live, where you're really from. You're really from above. You're born from above. You're from above. Your citizenship is above. That's where Christ is. That's where our thought pattern should be. Not based on these things below. John and I talked to Joe. Remember Joe, the 21-year-old that's gone to Ghana? He became ill during the week while we were at the conference. Called him that night, and we found out about it when it was over, when the conference was over at 5. Called him. And what it turned out is that this 21-year-old has just been going and going. This is the hot season in Ghana, really hot. He was just dehydrated. But just he felt like talking more and more. And he just misses white people. Just misses being able to communicate with them. He loves his ministry. He loves mission. He loves these people. He wants to go into the villages. But just sometimes you miss talking. And but people, we've got to orient ourselves that we're from above. One of the reasons for the local assembly is being able to talk with other believers. It's like he wanted to talk with a white person. We get to talk with other people who are like-minded here. get to interact with them on Sunday, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, get with other people who are like-minded. People, this country is so, so dark, and it's getting darker and darker. The Muslim world is growing and growing in this country. Anti-freedom. All these things. It's nice to be with those that are like-minded. So we're from above. This is where we need to orient ourselves. All right, point five. In total depravity, we died. We are also made alive. Made alive in Christ. We are made alive in Christ. Okay, let's look at Romans 6:11. Romans 6:11. It's a powerful verse. All of these verses are so powerful if you have been able to grasp and believe. I was born into this human race totally depraved, unable to do anything for God. And to think what God has done for us. Look at now at verse 11. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. We're alive. We're alive to God. Don't get so caught up in this world. We're alive in Christ before God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:22. 1 Corinthians 15 is the great chapter on death. Let's look at 15:22. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die. Now we've looked at this verse way back. We were studying total depravity. How we're all born into this race under total depravity from Adam. This is why Mary, I'm sure you know this, why Mary had to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Had she been conceived by a man, Joseph, then she would have received, her fetus would have received this total depravity. The man passes it on. Woman carries, the man passes it on. She was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. So he is not. He was born perfect. But in this passage now, 1 Corinthians 15:22, for in Adam all die. That's spiritual death. Dying you shall die. That's total depravity. So also in Christ all shall be made alive. The subjunctive mood there is maybe you will, maybe you won't. Depends on whether or not you trust in Him as your Savior. Okay, let's look at Ephesians 2. We're going to look at Ephesians 2, 5. I'm sorry. Ephesians 2, 5. Ephesians 2, 5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. But the point that we want to look at is here, we're made alive, born totally depraved, dead. We're made alive through in the person of Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:9. 1 John 4:9. First John 4:9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. That God, now here's how His love was manifested. That God sent His only begotten Son into the world. That's what we're enjoying at Christmas. Into the world. So that we might live through Him. So people, we're so oriented to the person of Jesus Christ in our everyday life. This is how we are alive. Okay, point six. We saw how God created mankind. Then mankind sinned or failed. But in Christ, we are said to be a new creature. You're a new creature. Now, let's say you were born, say, a given date, and then just pick out a time, 10, 20, 30, I don't care when, you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. You became a new creature. Didn't change the way you looked. Didn't change your clothes. Didn't change the way you eat. Really didn't change the way you think. That's going to come by your growth in the Word, walking in the Spirit. But you became a new creature in Christ, a new creation. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, we're there by faith, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, totally depraved nature. Behold, new things have come. New citizenship. New way of thinking, and we now are occupied with heaven, where Christ is, not with the earth. People, when you find ourselves living so much on this earth that we become depressed or find our happiness on this earth, then you know you're in the flesh nature. This isn't where our happiness is. If we have things, we can enjoy them. Christians ought to enjoy things on this earth more than any other human being. A married Christian should enjoy sex more than anybody else. He should enjoy food. He should enjoy wine. He should enjoy travel. He should enjoy everything, because we're not holding on to it. It isn't our happiness. We can enjoy it. If we have it, wonderful. If we don't have it, wonderful. But if you're holding on to it, you need to check yourself. You need to understand where you're headed in that realm of thinking. People were a new creation in Christ. New creatures alive in Christ. We are created in Christ. Let's look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Now, I've tried not to repeat too many verses. This is not a repeat, but I've tried not to, but some of them will be, but it's befitting to see it in different understandings, different emphasis. Alright, Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for the purpose of good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But what I want you to see here is, we are created in Christ Jesus. This is who and what you are, people. Alright, point seven. Under total depravity, eternal death. In Christ, eternal life. Let's look at Romans 5:21. Romans 5:21. Every one of these are just things to think about in regard to who and what we are. Romans 5:21. In Christ, eternal life, chapter 5, verse 21, that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. People, we don't have to worry about anything in the future. We have eternal life. You're in Christ, you have eternal life through Christ. Look at 6:23. Romans 6:23, very important, famous passage, well-known passage. For the wages of sin is death, But the free, that's grace, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's where eternal life lies. A lot of people, I hate Christianity. Oh, you mean all these Jews are going to go to hell? All these people are going to go to hell? But you see, people, you lose something. It's all inclusive. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. It's all inclusive. It's not exclusive. It's all inclusive. It's exclusive to those who will trust and believe in Him. All right, let's look at 1 Timothy 1:16. 1 Timothy, write it down and then we'll turn. 1 Timothy 1:16. First Timothy 1:16, and yet, for this reason, I found mercy, in order that, in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in Him for eternal life. We were born under total depravity, eternal death. We're born in Christ, eternal life. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1:10. 2 Timothy 1:10. But now, as has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death, that's Christmas and cross, which always go right together, of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Gospel is by faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Him alone. Let's don't pass it up. Let's look at Jude, right before Revelation. Jude chapter 1, which is only one chapter in Jude. Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Okay, how do you do that? I can't pass it up. You do that by faith in the Holy Spirit. You walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. You keep yourself in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. One thing that was just emphasized over and over in this past week at the conference was He's coming. He's coming. That should be a wonderful reality to us. No matter what happens in this world, He is coming. He's going to come back. He's going to take us home first, but He's coming back to this earth. One of the speakers did an excellent job in showing why so many Jews theologically reject Jesus as the promised Messiah. And he listed, and I'll go through this later, but he listed, I think, something like 10, 12 different reasons why. And one of the main reasons why, well, He was going to make Israel a nation. He was going to get us out from under the rule of Rome. He was going to do this. He was going to give us a land. He was going to do all of these things. And the problem is, He hasn't done it yet. He's going to. He's going to come back. And He's going to fulfill all those things that they're looking for. Okay. Jude 1:21. Well, let's see. Yeah, Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. All right? Point eight. Just ask you, and I'm not asking this in reality, but just if I were to ask you, write down, you know, who are you? Who are you? And people, if you write down anything other, and I'm talking about especially here, but I'm talking about even wherever you are. If you think of yourself outside of Christ, you've missed it. No wonder you're holding on to things. However you see yourself, that's what you're going to hold on to. You see yourself as a very rich person, going to hold on to that money. See yourself as a very beautiful person, going to try to hold on to that beauty. And do everything you can to fight it as age creeps in. And as gravity starts its work. All these things start happening. But people, if we see ourselves in Christ, there's a peace that just overcomes us. Point 8, we now exist in Christ. We now exist. We existed under total depravity. Now we exist in Christ. Let's look at Acts 17:28. Acts 17:28. I hate to do this right in the middle of all of this, but it's just running through my mind. Would any of you like to have those speakers on your iPod? If I put it all on where you could have it, access to them. Well, okay, I'll do that. I didn't think about that, Romeo. That's good. Just put it on there. Okay. All right, let's look at Acts 17:28. For in Him we live and move and exist. People, do you believe that? Is that written on your refrigerator door? That in Christ Jesus we live and we move. Whatever we're made to cause to do and to move and exist. As even some of your own poets have said, for we also are His offspring. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 8:6. 1 Corinthians 8:6. These are wonderful verses. 1 Corinthians 8:6. It's a powerful verse for today. In the time in which you and I live in American history. Yet for us, there is but one God. Just one. Not Allah. Just one. One God. The Father. From whom are all things. And we exist for Him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through Him. We exist through Christ. Total depravity? Not so. But now, we have an orientation to our existence. Point 9. In Christ, we now have life. Under total depravity, death. We looked at that. In Christ, we have life. Let's look at John, the Gospel of John 20. Verse 31. The Gospel of John 20, verse 31. Gospel of John 20, 31. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in His name. In Christ, we have life. Next, Colossians. Another beautiful passage. Colossians 3:3-4. Colossians 3:3-4. For you have died, and your life now is hidden with Christ in God. People, we were buried with Christ, crucified with Christ, buried with Christ. Our life's hidden to this world. It's hidden. I don't want them to see me. They see me, they'll see the ugliness of my soul. They'll see the phoniness of my soul. I want them to see Christ in me. See His love. So, Colossians 3:3, For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Can be revealed with Him. In our study in Revelation, we've studied the judgment seat of Christ. People, that's not a maybe. That's not something that you'll just... I think I'll skip that part. I'll go on over to some other display going on in heaven at that time. Every one of us are going to have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not going to be good and bad things. It's going to be how much you walked in the power of His Spirit. It's not going to be, I'm sorry, how much Bible doctrine you know. It's not going to be how much money you gave. It's not going to be how many times you checked in at church. How many times you plucked in your car. Well, I went to church today. It's not going to be how many hours you spent. It's going to be the time that you and I spent in the power of His Spirit. One more passage on this. 2 Timothy 1:1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. People, our life is in the person of Jesus Christ. We have the newness of life. I didn't give you that one, but under this same point 9, we have the newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Let me read it to you. Romans 6:4, we have the newness of life. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. Well, I'm not, let's see, am I half through yet? But not enough. So we'll finish this up. And then finish up our study in total depravity. Any questions? Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. By the way, if you want, you can take those song sheets home. I'll have them out every Sunday up and through the new year, first Sunday in the new year. And then we'll what I probably will do is look, I can shrink that size and put it in our songbook, can I? Yeah, I can do that, all right? So, well... Somebody at the shop can do that. Somebody at FedEx or home office or something can do it. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we get very down when we look at ourselves under total depravity. How we're born into this world. We understand our fits of temper, our jealousy, our anger, our depression, our anxiety. We can understand our desire to control things, control others, control ourselves, control our dogs, our wives, our husbands. We don't like that person, but we're stuck with him until we come to Christ. What a marvelous God you are, Father, that lay this out for us, lays this whole plan. You show us who and what we are in our first birth, and you show us who and what we are by faith in Jesus Christ. We should keep our eyes on Him, concentrating on Him. Day in and day out, our thoughts in heaven where He sits. Day in and day out, looking for Him to call us home at the rapture, to come again on earth. Father, you have a phenomenal plan, and we can now just relax and enjoy life because of the truth of these things. Thank you, Father, for the things we've seen this morning. Pray that your Spirit will take these things, bed them in our souls, in the foundation of our souls, and then become a reality in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen.